It's good to be sharing with you the beginning of a new series that we're going to run now for the next 2 months. We're going to be having a look in the Old Testament this time. We've had quite a long focus on the New Testament, and we're going to have a look at the Old Testament for a little bit. And we're going to go to Exodus and follow the journey of God's people from slavery into freedom. So hopefully these next four sessions, as we're going to look at that, are going to be really useful for us as we're a church that's on the move and we're transitioning and moving forward, a bit like God's people at that time. So this was a really interesting time for God's people, wasn't it? It was a time when they were really called to have faith and to move forward. And as they moved into exile, out of Egypt into the desert, and as they were called by God onto this journey, it was going to require them to have faith in Him and trust. There's also going to be a time that would involve change, and it would be a time that would form and change them as they learnt about themselves, as they grew in faith, and as they came together as a community. There was also going to be a time with a new leader trying to lead the people. There was going to be guidance for how to relate to one another. God gave them lots of structure and provision and blessings during this time. But it was also a time when it would stretch them. And it would be a point when some weaknesses would be revealed that they'd need to work through. And it would be a time when there was an element of endurance and trust and faith that were required. They were going to learn a lot about themselves and a lot about God. And I think this is a great story for us to learn from today. We can draw lots of things that will be helpful for us as we continue to move forward as a people of God into the next months ahead. So we're going to have a look at it over 4 weeks. David, I don't know if you've got the slide there. We can just have a little look, just to give you a taster of what we've got. So we're thinking about this idea of people on the move and transitions. And we're going to be looking at these four areas. You might just want to click forward there, David. So I'm going to pick up today just thinking about the fact that God noticed them. And that's going to be something we're going to explore today and what that meant for them. Chris is going to pick up on God protects, and we're going to think about the whole element of protection. And then I'm going to look at God delivers. You might be starting to think about where some of the story fits into these headings. And then finally, Chris is going to finish off with God provides. But hopefully, as we journey with God's people in Exodus over the next couple of months, we're going to be able to pick up things for ourselves and allow God to speak to us about our own move as we move forward. So we're going to start today with the first passage that we're going to have a look at. It's from Exodus 6, if people have got their Bibles. And I think, Charlotte, did I hear you mention that you were going to be reading for us?
Yes.
Fantastic. I'll pass across to you then.
Okay. The Lord said to Moses, "Now you are going to see what I will do to the king. I will force him to let my people go. In fact, I will force him to drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as Almighty God. I did not make myself known to them by my holy name, the Lord. I also made my covenant with them, promising to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they have lived as foreigners. Now I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom Egyptians have enslaved, and I have remembered my covenant. So I tell the Israelites that I shall say to them, 'I am the Lord. I will rescue you and set you free from slavery to the Egyptians. I'll raise my mighty arm and bring terrible punishment upon them, and I will save you. I will make you my own people, and I will be your God. I will know that I am the Lord your God. I set you free from slavery in Egypt. I'll bring you to the land that I solemnly promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. and I will give it to you as your own possession. I am the Lord.
Hilary so helpfully just led us with some really key themes that come through Exodus and this story that we're going to discover and think about over the next month and into the following month. And those are faithfulness, God's faithfulness to his people. There's a really key theme in Exodus, which we're going to discover today, about God's presence. The God who is I am is a key theme that is in Exodus. And then finally, that aspect of being relational. Exodus is all about God's relationship with his people, that is intimate, that is challenging, that is healing. And it reveals to us the fact that God reaches out to us. And we're going to discover that through the next few months as well. But it's quite helpful as we start this series just to have a bit of a recap, just to place this story in the context of the story of God's people. And many of you will know this, but just so it helps us to get the context of where this journey starts from. It goes back, doesn't it, to Joseph, who settled with his family in the land of Egypt, into the fertile area of Goshen. And there they flourished and they grew in number and they filled the land, Exodus tells us. But several generations have passed and the Egyptians have started to see the Israelites as a threat. And as a consequence of that, has forced them into slavery. And the people of God have been pushed into the fields to work and into the huge building projects that the Egyptians were doing at that time. So life has become very different for them. It's become harsh and hard. And the Egyptians are ruthless. Exodus tells us. And there's a real sense at this stage in the story where God's people are feeling oppressed, it's dangerous, there's injustice, and they don't have hope. They were a people that were discouraged and they couldn't see a way forward. And for that reason, Christians in throughout the centuries have looked at this story as a source of inspiration. It was a key area for the civil rights movement often went to this passage in the States in that period of when they were trying to change and move forward as a people, Christian communities in that time. It's been another area of the Bible that's been resourced and used to help the poor in Latin America, for example. So it's a really powerful passage that has resonated for God's people through the centuries. And indeed, Jewish communities, it's a key part of their scripture, isn't it, that they go back to now and pull on for inspiration and comfort. Well, hopefully here in Sea of Green, we're not at that point of being so oppressed. But we too can still be under pressure. We can still feel contained and at times feel that there's no way forward. And this year, for many of us, may have felt like that at stages. Some of our freedoms have been taken away, haven't they? The ability to choose where we travel, who we meet, our holidays, even things like being able to go to school to have education have all been restricted for us and decisions have been made for us. We've had a small taste of what it might be like to live in a sense of not having any choices and people making decisions for us. And even in normal times, we can feel hemmed in and pressured by the world around us, by the responsibilities maybe we have, the pressures from work. Even in church life, we can feel tired, we can feel ineffective. And we can get caught up in the busyness of serving that we begin to lose the joy and the creativity of moving forward as a community. So I think this part of God's story, it speaks to us today and it's got lots of things that we can learn from. Because one of the key things around Exodus is that it shows us that God is a God of freedom. He's a God who wants his people to live in fullness and wholeness. We're not supposed to be a people that are stunted or restricted or static. God's plan for us is to be communities that are dynamic and that are full of freedom, that allow us to grow and change and become more like Jesus. God wants us to be communities that reflect his kingdom, that are vital and that are life-giving. And that's a really exciting place to be, isn't it? Church should be an exciting place to be. David, could I just ask you to pop the picture up of the tree for us? I just wanted to pop this in for us to have a look at, because I know that in Sea of Green, the image of a tree has become quite important to you as a church family over the years. It's an image that you have used. And I just wanted to pause at this point to think about this idea of a tree by a river, particularly thinking of Psalm 1 that I've been looking at over the last few weeks and pondering on. This idea of how a tree flourishes by putting its roots down into the river to draw on the water for growth, even in a desert place, which is where the psalm would have been written. And I think it's a really strong image of what God wants for his people, that we are a people who flourish and that put our roots deep down into him. So there's some really helpful things from the passage that Charlotte read to us this morning that can just help us think about the beginning of this journey and what happened for God's people at this point. And there's some key things that we see. The first thing is that God notices them. That's really clear in this passage, isn't it? It tells us that God heard their groans and he heard their suffering and he notices. And it's an amazing passage because it shows us that God turned his attention to his people and he responded. Every time I read this part of the story, it just fills me with great joy. Just thinking about our amazing, magnificent, wonderful, all-powerful God who chooses to turn his attention to his people. And it's a wonderful truth that we see throughout the Bible. God does this time and time again. He moves towards us before we move to him. And I think that's a very powerful thing that we can lift from this passage. God notices them. He hears them. There was a verse in John's first letter as I was reading this passage that jumped to mind. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning. It says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that God did that. He stepped towards us. He sent his son. And that's a wonderful truth that we hold as believers in Jesus. There's also something else that we can learn from this passage that's going on, because we also discover that this isn't just a one-off type of noticing. God has had the Israelites in his sights for hundreds of years, and his attentiveness has never stopped. And it's reflected in the covenant that God made with his ancestor Abraham, and the promise that God gave to them that he would follow through. And it's also revealed in the generations after that, right through to Moses and this generation. God already knows about them. He already cares and he is committed. He's a God that doesn't stop noticing. And finally, this isn't just a passive observation. God doesn't just look and not do anything. He actually responds. And then there's a whole chain of events that this then begins. Moses and Aaron lead in a miraculous, wonderful way. God uses them to reveal God's power to Pharaoh so that his people can move into freedom. There's a verse here that I particularly wanted to spend a bit of time looking at. If you've got your Bibles, you might just want to have a look at verse 3. I was quite intrigued by this verse. Often when you're intrigued, it's a good point at that point to go in a bit deeper. I'm just going to shut the door. So if you want to pick up on verse 3, it says, "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." I was just slightly intrigued by that. I wondered what that meant. So I did a little bit of a reading and thinking and investigating. And it's actually quite an interesting verse, because basically it's showing us that God revealed himself to his people in a fresh new way, in a way that they hadn't known him before. Up to that point, they'd known God as El Shaddai. And you might recognise that term as a way of a term for describing God. It means God Almighty. And that's quite a common way that God is described up to this point. And you can see that at the beginning of the verse, God Almighty, El Shaddai. But then during this Exodus story, God reveals himself in a fresh way to his people. And the word Yahweh, or Jehovah, sometimes it's translated in our Bibles. The Lord is sometimes used in the NIV, but it's the term Yahweh, which is a very sacred, special word, but even for Jewish people today. And it's a word that, debated by scholars, is very deep and beautiful. But essentially, it means I am. It's an interesting way that God describes himself, isn't it? I am. And it speaks into this idea of God being present. It was interesting that Hilary picked this up at the beginning of the worship that we had at the beginning of the session, because God is basically saying, you're going to know me in a fresh way. You're going to know me as I am, the God who is I am. And I think that's a really important thing, again, that we can draw from this passage, that God is the God I am. He is present. He is active. He is dynamic. He reveals himself to us. He is a God of action. He is a God of presence. And that's really helpful for us as we move forward into the next months and years as a church. We follow a God who is present. We follow a God who is real. And we follow the God who is I am. And that means that in verse 6, he can say to them, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will make you my own people and I will be your God. He is a God of presence and he is a God of relationship. He is real and we can know him. And that's an amazing thing that we can share with others. This amazing truth that God is present, he is real, and that we can know him. At this point, I'm just going to pause and we're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at a psalm. It's a very beautiful psalm. A lot of people will know it. We're going to look at Psalm 121, 121. And I chose this one because, again, it's a psalm that I've been thinking about in my worship this week, in my quiet times. And it just reflects this relationship that God's people continue to have with God as we travel through the Old Testament. It's a special psalm. It's a psalm of ascent. If some of you know what that means, these are particular psalms that God's people use to go on a journey up to Jerusalem, to the temple. It was a journey that went uphill. They went on a journey and they sang these psalms together as they went up to their festivals. And this is one of the very famous songs of ascent. So we're just going to pause at this point in the talk and we're just going to read this together. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to start by reading the first block, the first stanza. And I'd just like to invite three other people who feel able to just to read a stanza each so that we can share this together as a people together. So I'm going to start and then there'll be a slight pause and the next person can then read the next section. So let's read Psalm 121 together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Isn't it? It's a beautiful psalm, isn't it? And it just reflects the fact that God's people believed in Yahweh, the God I Am, who was with them in their journey. So as we come to the end of just thinking about this first passage of God's people on the move and transitions, there's just three things I just wanted to summarise for us that I think will be helpful as we move forward. The first thing is this idea of the fact that the Israelites needed God, didn't they? They were at a point when they were not sure what the future held. They weren't clear what the future would bring for them, and they were ready for moving on. There's a sense of them pausing as a nation, waiting and hoping that something would take them forward and change their situation. And each one of us needs to encounter and have a need for God, the God who is present and active. And he's present with us now as a church by his Spirit. He is the great I Am. He is real, and he notices, he sees us now. And the second thing I wanted to share with you is this idea of the fact that God chooses to turn his attention to us. He sees us where we are, and he understands, he knows the history of where we've come from, and he has a future for us. And it's something that is wonderful. It's grace. It's not something we deserve, but he loves us and he reaches out in grace to us. And we know that because when we look in the Bible, we see him doing that generation after generation. And his most wonderful act of grace for us was to send his son Jesus. He moved towards us. And that's a great message that we have to share with others. This idea of grace and God's presence and being real. And then the final thing I just wanted to share with you, which I find really encouraging, is that God works out his plans and his purposes through a community of people. Sometimes in the West, we can be quite individualistic, can't we? But yet when we look at the Bible, we know that he works through individuals, God, but he always often works through families, and he often works through communities. And that's really encouraging as we look at this story of God's people on the move, that God works through a community. He works within them to change them and to form them into a chaotic group of slaves, into a community, a robust community of people that are ready to go into the promised land. And then he also uses them to bring about his purposes for the world. And that's really exciting that God uses community. And he wants to use us here as a community in Sea of Green. So I hope you find this first session encouraging as we journey with the people into the desert and the challenges and the formation of a new community and the promises of the promised land. And I hope that over the next 2 months, we're going to be able to really learn through this experience, and that it will encourage us as we move forward. The only thing I also wanted to add is, for some of you, there might be a few people here that just don't feel in that place at the moment. You might feel quite trapped, a bit like the Israelites, and can't really see a way forward. And this message is for you as an individual too. And if that's the case, do something about it. Take that step of faith and move forward. Maybe chat with a Christian friend, talk about where you are, ask for prayer. I'm also really happy to talk through with people, but don't feel trapped. Do move towards freedom, and I'd really encourage you to do that. So that's the passage for today. Hope there's a few things that you can take away to reflect on, and we'll look forward to the next instalment with Chris.